coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions.
You are dead to me.
What?
I said you're dead to me.
I'm dead to you?
You're dead to me.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash. And today, we are going to be talking about Survivor Cambodia. And I have a confession to make. I don't like Cambodia. I tried really hard to like it. I really did. But the whole time, I kept having to take these long breaks in between episodes because I was just so overwhelmed with just like, wow, there's nothing to say about these people besides what they did in the game, and that's just boring to write about. So, this ranking is going to make a lot of people upset, but I think it's going to be okay in the end. But I just don't like this season as much as you, if you like it. That's all I'm saying. So, don't get too mad that most of these people are ranked pretty mediocrely, I'm going to be honest. But let's just get right on into it with Survivor Cambodia. Please don't hate me. But please like, comment, and subscribe anyway. Thanks. And starting off with the worst ranked player in this season, we are going to the returnee I was least excited for, even, and that is Monica Padilla. The returnee I was least excited for becomes the Invisible Girl. She gets purpled like crazy, and you forget she's even there. I'm pretty sure she doesn't even get her first confessional until, like, episode 4. She fights with Kimmy over clams in a way that tests both Kimmy and my patience. She starts to get a little bit of content as a treat towards the end of her run, but to be honest, it feels very, oh shit, we forgot to show anything from Monica and she's about to be booted, let's cram her in. I mean, going out in a 3-2-1 was kinda wild, but it's easy to miss. Monica is a nothing character on both her seasons, and the first person to go into meh twice. And next up is actually a juror, and we have Kelly Wigglesworth. And the Danny Boatwright Award for Greatest Achievement in Legacy Destroying goes to Kelly Wigglesworth. You watch her on this season, and you wonder how the hell she was ever a fan favorite. She's a first-generation Survivor player, and she plays exactly the way you would expect her to. She seemed to think the challenges were the most important part of the game, and it's all she seemed to focus on. Her only real ally seemed to be Joe, who was living off immunity wins. She was unceremoniously booted, and eventually I forgot she was even there in the first place. Also, her final tribal council question is bottom tier. It was great when Greg did it. Not on season 31. Big ol' meh. And next we actually have the first boot, and that is Vetus Biskauskas. The edit makes it look like Vetus was booted for coming off as creepy towards the women, and I'm not saying that didn't contribute to it, but the real reason he was the first boot was because he was a huge threat. They understood Vetus was a great player and had the potential to build a powerful alliance with his connections to people like Terry and Kelly, so they cut the head off the dragon before it could form into a Hydra. He also targeted Abby Maria on a season where she weirdly controlled the votes. It's a shame because I really liked Vetus on Blood vs. Water, but Vetus without a story isn't worth jack, and this short-lived version of Vetus goes into meh. And I might as well throw in the next boot, and we have Shireen Oskui. I think that's how you say it. Shireen is Spencer's main boo, and he even cries his robot tears when he has to vote her out. Initiate sadness protocol. She also becomes the new RC to Abby Maria, where Abby Maria views a minor mistake Shireen commits as an ultimate betrayal. Shireen sadly doesn't do much. She's forgettable in a sea of returnees, and she just played the previous season only to get booted early, and I often forget she even came back. Sorry, Shireen, I love your gal, but you gotta go into meh. And why not? Let's have the next boot in PG Law. PG kind of proves that she was never that good of a player and is immediately on bad terms with Abby Maria due to Bracelet-gate. Yes, that's what I'm calling it. She has the tendency to inadvertently fan the flames of that resentment, like when she points out that Abby Maria has the best spot in the shelter during the rain for no real reason. She's just not good socially on this season, and it's why she gets the early boot. Really underwhelming showing for PG. She's just another rung in a string of Abby Maria-led votes. Meh. And next up, oh boy, this is gonna make people hate me, but we have, still in Matt here, Sierra Easton. Sierra just doesn't do anything in the pre-merge at all. Yeah, she's talking about making big moves during the merge and trying to work with people to get out people like Fishback, but at the end of the day, what did Sierra do on this season? Yeah, she was part of the Witch's Coven, which, awesome name for an alliance, by the way, but Sierra just lacks any true defining moment that makes her stand out from the rest of the returnees. Sure, she convinces Cass and Abby to blindside Wu, but I feel like Wu was dead man walking at that point to begin with. I also feel like she gets way too much credit for convincing everyone to blindside Fishback, which led to her being idled out of the game, because I feel like Steven was already a target and he didn't need to do much work to convince everyone of that. I'm sorry, but she's going at the top of meh. After that, we have someone who barely escaped meh, and that is the return of Cass McQuillan. Cass tries to play a better game than on Cagayan, but she doesn't. She wanted revenge on Spencer, but I can't seem to recall a moment where Spencer actually betrayed her. He mostly just insulted her to her face about her terrible gameplay. I really don't like Kumbaya Cass. It's kinda boring. Cass is also the same terrible player she was on Cagayan, and reading a self-help book isn't gonna change her personality overnight. Turns out she's also bad at playing the nice girl game and gets booted right at the merge. Seeing her on a jury is a nice change, since she does give some entertaining reactions to Tribal Council. It's still a significant downgrade from her last appearance, but I'll admit, her getting targeted immediately at the merge was pretty fun, and she belongs in Fun Downfall. Right above Cass, we have someone else who barely escaped meh, and that is Wu Huang. Wu went out around where I expected him to go out, and played exactly how I expected him to play. What I did not expect was sympathetic Wu. Him opening up about his mom's heart attack and transplant hit close to home for me, even if it didn't sway Abby Maria at all. She sandbags that story like she was Sandra. Weasel Wu lives up to his namesake and votes for Abby Maria twice while still trying to convince her that he's loyal to her. He's being kept around due to just other people being more of a threat to Abby Maria, like Varner and PG, but Wu was a dead man walking who didn't make it easier on himself. Wu ruins his legacy, if he even had one, on this season, and he doesn't have those fun moments on Cagayan that made me love him. He's mostly just playing scared, and scared Wu isn't as fun. Wu lands himself in mildly entertaining, at least. Alright, and someone else who is barely serviceable is Tasha Fox. I feel like this is going to be another one people are going to be upset about. I'm really, really struggling to find things to say about Tasha. Her almost drowning was a sympathetic moment, and I did find it a little humorous that two immunity wins were immediately made serious by emergencies on this season, thus negating any good feelings Keith or Spencer may have had about winning. Honestly, when it comes to Tasha, I don't know. She was just kind of there most of the time. It's still Tasha, so she still has that rootable underdog energy to her, and she isn't a bad player by any means on this season. I just think she didn't have much agency in her game and as a character. I mean, it's cool she made it all the way to the end. I mean, I don't think she had any chance of winning outside maybe a Tasha, Abby, Keith Finals 3, which she wasn't striving to do at any time in the game. Even with all that being said, she still ends up on a decent position on this season ranking-wise just because everyone else was also this devoid of character moments. It's a shame because, according to a lot of the cast, she was unbearable at camp. And it would have been nice to see at least some character from Tasha on this season. Tasha's just kind of okay, and she's going into underdog. And I can't believe this guy is this high, but next we have Jeff Varner. Ugh, this guy again. I guess Jeff is alright on this season. He's a lot more interesting than he is on Australian Outback, and he's one of the only old school players who seem to have rapidly adapted to the new school style of the game. I mean, it doesn't get him anywhere as he's voted out fourth, but it's still kind of fun seeing a player as old school as Jeff vocalize his transition from old school to new school. He gets caught mouthing something to Kelly at a challenge and gets outed as a rat, which blows up the entire tribe for some reason. He scrambles and does a decent job trying to plead his case to Abby Maria, and I earnestly thought it would work, but it doesn't, and Jeff goes out calling Abby Maria a bitch. I can halfway see why they wanted him back on Game Changers after this showing, because he did show potential and an ability to adapt on the fly. I guess he can go into mildly entertaining, but this will be the last time I will be nice to Jeff Varner. Alright, and next we have another old school player who was great player, underwhelming character a little bit, and next we have Andrew Savage. Savage shows a decent ability to play the game in the new school era and manages to move his tribe to tears with his story where he cries about how hot his wife is. Savage is one of the most impressive old school players, and I feel like he would have went much farther if not for Kelly Wentworth becoming a meme. Everyone seemed to love Savage on this season and wanted to work with him. He's not as dynamic as a character as he was in Pearl Islands, and I'm not going to act like he doesn't get a lot of content. However, a lot of his content comes from people talking about how much they like Savage. It's not so much things he's doing as a character. Savage is still an enjoyable enough force on the season, and I love how Savage went out in wonky circumstances on both his season. The guy just can't catch a break. I'm throwing him in good player. And next we have someone I expected to be a lot higher, but I was actually underwhelmed by her as a character, and next we have Kimmy Kappenberg, the most impressive old school player on this season, and it's not even close. Nobody should have been high on Kimmy coming into the season, but she plays an amazing social game, comes close to winning the game, and goes out in the craziest tribal council possibly in the entire series. The no-vote tribal needed to be explained with Jeff drawing on the screen like he's John Madden. However, as a character, she has the Tasha problem where she's just kinda there most of the time. I will say her story is a lot more compelling than Tasha, being we're watching a super old school player from season freaking 2 go all the way to the final 6 and play an incredible game where she actually had a path to a win. She has some fun moments arguing with Monica about clams, but ultimately her biggest claim to fame for me is going out in that no vote tribal. So I'm just going to throw her in fun downfall. And I can't believe this next one is this high, but next we have Terry Dietz. Terry was not very impressive on this showing, not saying he was a bad player by any means, but when you compare him to how Savage played, come on, there's no comparison to who was better. But at least he was having fun out there. Jeff Probst making fun of him during the blindfold challenge was a lot of fun. I do feel extremely bad that his run got cut short in the worst way it could by the news of his son almost freaking dying. Honestly, I'd rather be medevaced. I'm glad he's okay, but heart problems that young, man, I feel for the kid. I actually had to Google what happened to him the first time I watched this season to make sure he was alright. Terry should have never had his game cut short like that, and they really should have given him another chance, and I'm gonna throw him in deserved better. Next up, we have another surprisingly low ranking, and we have Spencer Bledsoe. Spenspot 3000. The I'm trying to understand feelings arc is a hilarious arc for Spencer. It just makes him that much more of a Redditor to me. Spencer joined Stephen Fishback in the Zero Vote Finalist Hall of Fame because he really does not play a bad game. He just didn't play a game anyone on the jury really respected. Plus, he was going up against Jeremy. He didn't have a chance. He was very close to being the first boot, but he miraculously survives all the way to the end. It's crazy how young he was on the season. I forget he was only 22, which is wild considering how good of a game he plays on such a high-skill season. As a character, he's hit or miss for me. He doesn't have the same snarky Redditor charm Kagayan Spencer had, and it's easy to find him kind of boring. He's super game body, even more so than last time. However, he's still interesting from a strategic perspective, just as a character, not the greatest, even though he can be very interesting. I mean, him solving that puzzle super quick was cool. He also does an absolutely asinine move at Final Four where he assumes he can sway the jury in front of the jury, and he acts like he can convince them to give Wentworth the win. It's kind of ridiculous, but regardless of that, I'll give him a spot in Good Player. And now, finally getting into the realm of characters that I actually like, we have someone I liked more than I thought I would, and we have Joe Anglim. Joe plays the heartthrob on the season. I love how everyone's excited about him oiling up, and it just shows Keith staring at him. Even the straightest of straight men can't help but be enamored by sexy boy Joe. Even Propes describes him as delicious, which is weird, but alright. This is the season where Joe becomes Joey Amazing. If you thought his challenge dominance might have been a fluke before, he shut your mouth up this season. I usually don't care much for Joe. But, in a season where everyone was playing and acting so reserved, it was nice to see a guy out there looking like he was just having fun and doing what he does best. This is for sure his best season, and he's way more of a dynamic character than he was on Worlds Apart, and it's where he becomes a challenge legend. He passes out from pure exhaustion during a challenge and finally loses, and that's when he's booted. It's a shame he got booted after Fishback, since Joe was his white whale after all. It was kind of hilarious. Joey Amazing for sure goes into Golden Boy, but high up there. And I can't believe it took all the way to Final Five to finally get to the great tier, but here we have Steven Fishback. Steven's still a sad sack nerd, and we all love him for it. He's clearly so traumatized from his last experience on Survivor and losing the JT 8-0. I like Fishback a lot during this season. They give him a lot of love in the edit, in my opinion, and I don't get why Fishback wasn't happy with his showing here. He did a pretty damn good job. He's one of the strategical heads of the season like he was in Token Chains, but he's way too much of a threat, and he was being targeted all merge until they were finally able to blindside him. He's also very sympathetic the entire season. He gets pretty banged up by the elements, having severe gastrointestinal distress, his feet swelling up. He's not doing too hot. He holds not making the big move against himself, so he jumps on the opportunity to get an advantage during a challenge, and it just puts an even bigger target on his back. Ironically enough, it was his downfall. He for sure is one of the most rootable guys on the cast, and I think he deserves to go into entertaining. Now these next four I had in several different orders, but I have settled on this one, and the first one I will be talking about is Keith Nail. I expected to be way higher on Keith than I ended up going, but it doesn't mean I don't love him. Keith driving the tuk-tuk is way more endearing than it has any right to be, and I also love him talking about Survivor not being fun, and I wish he had just continued listing fun things as the camera just kept a shot on him the entire time before slowly fading to black. That scene where Jeremy is trying to get Keith's attention is also one of the best moments in the season. He's insanely purple, though. But what little he does get is great. Keith is one of the few people on this cast that actually out there being a great character. He's flabbergasted when Abby Maria is voted out and keeps asking his tribe why, when the answer is obvious, because only the goats needed the other goats. Keith is just so funny every time they point the camera at him and give him a microphone. But they just don't do it enough, because the editor of this season hates good character moments for some reason. It's a shame he's so purple, but it's also understandable, because on a season all about high-level strategy, what the hell is Keith gonna contribute to that? Just man, Keith Nail was such a breath of fresh air coming from the overstimulating constant strategy. RIP to a goddamn legend, Keith is going into hilarious right next to his son. Before the pre-merge ended, I expected this one to be number one, but here at number three we have Abby Maria Gomez. The bitch is back, in pog form. So, she says villains have more fun, but I've also heard that blondes have more fun. So I guess Abby Maria is having the most fun. Abby Maria goes into the season not wanting to be emotional and not to blow up on people, which she starts off with being emotional and getting angry and blowing up on people. Abby Maria gets tested pretty much immediately when somebody moves her bag, in my opinion, to try to get her to explode on the tribe, which she kinda does. Despite being an insecure, paranoid mess, she still manages to very impressively run the entire pre-merge, and the game seemed to go the way of, you fuck with Abby, you get cut. Her pettiness is amplified on this season, and telling Wu not to write down Abby this time was putting it on full display. Stephen Fishback actually once told a story where he was talking to Abby while doodling in the sand, and he just so happened to make something that kinda looked like an A, and Abby Maria says, oh, is that an A for Abby? Are you gonna vote for me? Abby was insane. It's a shame she becomes an absolute nothing character, though, once the merge hits, and I kinda wish Kimmy had decided to flip at 7 and taken Abby with her. She has a couple moments here and there and keeps the tribe a little bit more lively by fighting with Jeremy on her way out. Jeremy calling her a Scorpio was hilarious, and I actually looked it up. She's a Libra, but she's literally like 3 days early to being a Scorpio. He was almost dead on. I would have died if he was right. Abby Maria still ends up as a great character on the season, and I would put her in Delightfully Crazy. Final two. Who's it gonna be? Number two is Jeremy Collins, the winner of the season. The fact that Jeremy was able to have such a dominant win on such a demanding season makes his game that much more impressive, and Jeremy that much better of a player. He immediately starts making alliances from the word go, and he sets up his meat shields in Joe, Savage, and Fishback. It's a brilliant strategy. He's such an entertaining winner, too. He's my favorite type of great winner, where he's fun in confessionals while also being great at explaining his strategy. Jeremy is just fantastic all around. It's pretty clear that he's beating everyone from the final 8 on, and nobody's getting Jeremy out. It's wild. They all just kinda let this guy walk into the final 3 and sweep the entire thing in a 10-0-0 blowout. I don't understand why Tasha and Spencer wanted to go to the end with him. He has an incredible story, and best of all, he didn't need to burn anybody. He betrayed nobody. So, there was no chance of a bitter jury. It's such an impressive win and one of my favorite strategical games. The dude's brilliant. Using meat shields is such a groundbreaking strategy, and it's kind of wild that it took 31 seasons for anyone to vocalize using that as a strategy. Anyone who plays shooter games know how useful meat shields can be, and it's kind of obvious to me at least. His only hiccup in the game is trusting Kimmy maybe a little too much, but it works out for him. It's his Tyson go in the rocks moment. His final tribal council performance is pretty top tier, and he drops the bomb that Val's pregnant, and bam, he wins. Everyone feels good voting for him to win, too. Happy ending. It's a shame him as a character doesn't do anything grand or spectacular to elevate him past great for me, but he's consistently great enough to go to the very, very top of that tier, right above his girl Natalie Anderson. He's an entertaining. And at number one, of course, we have the GOAT of the season, Kelly Wentworth. I guess the voters knew what was to come, because this is where Wentworth gets goated in Survivor lore, where she plays possibly the most badass underdog game ever played. Her idol play is so legendary that it became a meme, and it's why Jens from last season doesn't get talked about as the greatest idol play ever, because it's this one. Not only did she negate votes that brought her from a 12th place showing that lasted all the way to 4th and becoming a fan favorite along the way, I don't want to call her a one-scene wonder, but she kind of is. But to her credit, that one scene is actually enough to have her leapfrog over everyone else on this cast. There's not a lot of fun moments on this season, but the first thing you think of when you think about Cambodia is that idol play, and it honestly makes the season worth it. If it weren't for that changing the game up, I might have not even liked this season at all. It honestly would be kind of ridiculous not to have her at the top spot, because she easily is the biggest breakout star from this season, and it's not even close. Yeah, Jeremy may have became one of the best winners of all time, but all anyone really cares about on this season is Kelly Wentworth, and it's understandable. She's good enough where she tricked everyone into thinking this was an entertaining season. That being said, I still don't think she was consistent enough to warrant any placement higher than great. She drops off at a lot of parts of the season. She's really not as main of a character as you may like her to be. All her positive attributes just comes from how rootable she is and other things I don't hold as high in regard as some Survivor fans. I don't find her that interesting. However, to act like she isn't one of the most iconic Survivor players of the modern era would be ridiculous to argue, and she does take her crown as the queen of second chance. She's just such an amazing idol playing baller. She's the Wayne Gretzky of idol players. She's going into entertaining. And that was Survivor Cambodia, and I'm going to be honest with y'all, that was a slog. That was really hard to get through. It became like a little more bearable once the merge hit, but my god, that pre-merge, like, it was so hard to find things to say about anyone in the pre-merge that wasn't Jeff Varner or Abby Maria. And I mean, there's just not a lot of character moments on this season. It's mostly strategy. And it's like, for this type of ranking, oh god, it was so hard to write for this, honestly. I mean, if I was doing, like, say, an evolution of strategy type thing, oh yeah, this would be, like, at the top of my list, but, I'm not doing that. So, this was hard to write for. I'm gonna be completely, totally honest. I did not enjoy making this, but I hope you enjoyed watching it. However, that being said, like, comment, subscribe. I love you all. If you made it this far, you're amazing. Next on the docket, we have Survivor Ko Rong. Fuck yeah. Great season. I get to talk about how Aubrey should have won. And yes, I am one of those people. Aubrey got robbed. Michelle should have never even been close to the final three. But whatever. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it, and I will see you in Ko Rong. I'm gonna take a nap. Goodbye.